that?
Tui and applesauce. Three words for that. Ooh, blah, and blah. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Oh, it's gangbusters.
Damn a shake in FL. In FL and Dave. Damn a shake.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? Hope all's well wherever you are. Things are bittersweet, I would say, here in Studio 66 at the Dave Damashek Football Program. Welcome to it, though. Of course, you can, as always, subscribe on iTunes. We encourage you, nay, demand that you do so. If you're a member of the Czech Republic or the Rank Amateurs, do the right thing and subscribe to the show. I say bittersweet, of course, because it was a great Super Bowl. We had a great time in Indianapolis, but now football's all done for a long, long time. Let's talk about it. What say you there? You can check them out, of course, NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
What's up, boss? How's it going? You're a little bittersweet. You're not looking forward. There's so much to look forward to, though.
Yeah,
we're more than football fans. You know, we and obviously you're mentioning the combine, the draft, a lot of good NFL stuff coming up. But still, we got March Madness. We got the opening of baseball season.
Yeah.
Your Pitt Panthers, they're starting to show some life. They're going to make a run in the Big East tournament. They're going to find a way into the tournament.
They just lost to South Florida by 10.
Don't worry about that. That's fine. They're going to make a run. I'm heading out this weekend. I'm going to go see UNLV and San Diego State battle it out. Cal State Fullerton, my alma mater, is actually playing good. Albert Pujols. There's a lot to be excited about. If you just have to have the right perspective.
I'm sure your alma mater is proud to hear one of its top journalists say, "My team is playing good."
They're good. That's good for our basketball program. That's a pretty good. That's as good as it gets because it's kind of one of those things.
But
just
I think, don't
get in the way of the baseball program. That's all they feel over there.
As a graduate of college, though, I think the grammatically, I think it's play well is what I'm
oh, sorry, Dave. Okay, sorry, I didn't know.
Well, listen. So I'm just trying to help you help yourself, Adam.
Thank you.
Be the best Adam you can be. Hey, coming up in just a minute here, we already did it. We just talked to Victor Cruz. He played for the New York Giants, and he caught a touchdown pass. What a cool thing that is in the record books. As they say, they can't take that away from you. I never liked the phrase, though. You hear coaches say this quite a bit in the locker room. You guys have Super Bowl rings now, and no one can take those away from you. Physically, yeah, I think people can. And, in fact, we've seen them on eBay. People give them away, in fact, in exchange for moolah. But having your name etched into the record book for all of time, now that is something you can't take away.
Actually, you can. Ask Reggie Bush.
True. Touche, Rank. So, we just talked to Victor Cruz. Good yap with him, and you can check that out at NFL.com, at least on the Damashek blog, DaveDamashek.NFL.com. You can check that out there, and it should be on the main page there. What is definitely there, the post-Super Bowl shame report. We got in. It was a lot of focus, as you would imagine, on those New England Patriots.
I can imagine.
We're going to talk. By the way, Rank, you just tweeted out. Always follow Rank at Adam Rank on Twitter, and I'm at Damashek. Rank, you just tweeted out. Give us your questions, your thoughts from Super Bowl 46. What should we kibitz about today, and what's flowing in there so far?
We've got some questions. Michael Fabiano's got a question.
Fabiano?
Yeah.
Who's that?
He's the
fantasy guy.
Fantasy editor.
Yes, our pal Michael Fabiano, the great Fabiano, has tweeted us. What's his question?
His question, he wants your take on Todd Haley in Pittsburgh.
That's not Super Bowl related, Fabiano, but I'll answer it. Todd Haley, I know that a lot of people on the banks of the Three Rivers are wringing their hands over this. Well, Todd Haley has some... You know, he's been known to have some conflicts.
And some good offenses.
Sure, but he has also had, I think the headline is, especially leaving Kansas City, as on his way out the door, he suggests that Scott Pioli and company had his phones bugged and everything, which
right.
is a, sort of a dangerous suggestion.
You're a paranoid person. I thought you'd be on board with that.
Coach Tomlin didn't give me a call to see if I wanted to run the offense or anything. Which, by the way, Coach Tomlin, you know, if you want my number, you know, go through Black Tie, the producer. We can talk about it. We can see what we can do. But Todd Haley, yes, those issues aside, I'm concerned because Ben Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner, is a guy who says that Todd Haley's a great coordinator. He loved playing for him. He deserves a lot of credit for what happened with that Arizona Cardinals offense a few years ago when Kurt Warner was under center. Ergo, I think people say, well, then why wouldn't that work in Pittsburgh? Because Kurt Warner is not Ben Roethlisberger. You may notice that they have certain personality differences, it seems to me. So Roethlisberger, and plus he had a relationship with Bruce Arians, the former OC, who's now going to be presumably working with Andrew Luck and or Peyton Manning going forward. I think that overall, I'm pleased about it, and here's why. We saw it in Kansas City with Todd Haley, did with Jamal Charles. Pittsburgh has a guy named Baron Batch who was gangbusters in the preseason last year out of Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah.
Knows exactly how to employ a guy like that. If Baron Batch's knee is right, then I think he'll really know how to do that. And we also know the thing that I like about Todd Haley is when given those passing weapons in Arizona – they were dynamite through the air, Kurt Warner to Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, and so on. Mm-hmm. Then he moves to KC, and the strength of that team is running the ball with Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones and so on last year. And so we see that he knows how to play to the strength of the pieces that
that's
he's given.
The big
so that's
thing
what
right
I like.
There.
And, of course, Pittsburgh has a lot of nice pieces to work with, all those three young receivers, Heath Miller, and Isaac Redman, and maybe Baron Batch, and I'm not sure the status of Rashard Mendenhall, if he'll be, I doubt he'll be 100% going into the season, but I like it overall, and he's not the head coach of the team, and he is a guy who understands the lore of Pittsburgh. His old man was a personnel guy for many moons in Pittsburgh, so I think he understands the significance of being a part of that organization and probably understands he better behave himself. You know, I think that the stink that he has on him. Odd, too, by the way, that it's just a year removed from what he did in leading that team to division crown. It seems as though that's all been wiped away by the acrimony on the sidelines with Matt Castle. And
but he had that problem in Arizona, too, where he was yelling at Anquan Boldin.
Right.
I think it was during the NFC Championship game, if I remember correctly. Yeah, he has that kind of fiery temper, but it's football. I'm not going to worry about it as long as the offenses are good, and he's been great.
Well, that leads me into, I say, the Pittsburgh organization. Let's talk about quickly here, Rank, before we get to Victor Cruz. We had a great time, a wonderful time in the great city of Indianapolis. I, of course, was familiar with it as an Indiana University graduate. I went to their school of journalism, and that's where I learned to say things like, they played well, Adam. That's
Captain Grammar, thank you.
Well, I thought that, I didn't realize that was a real complicated one to get right.
Whatever. We play fast and loose here, Dave. You know what? Sometimes you make a mistake.
In the Golden State, yeah. So I think maybe my highlight of the week was on Super Sunday running into to one Mr. Dan Rooney. The ambassador to Ireland. Nothing less than the ambassador to Ireland and the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I took a picture with him. It was positively gay. I loved it. And so that was wonderful, getting to yap with him for just a moment. And Black Tie, the producer, let's make sure we put that photo up on the DaveDamashek.NFL.com blog. And also, the most surreal thing, Rank, I think, of the week was, and the game was great, and we'll get to breaking that down in just a second. My other favorite thing about it was being in a bar one night. And who came in but one Mr. Plexico Burress.
Oh, wow.
Plexico Burress, 10 feet away from us, a man who went to jail, unfairly in my opinion, or at least for the length of time he
was
spent in the clink, was ridiculous. But anyway, Plexico comes in, and the man, he went to jail for shooting himself. Now he is sitting in a bar. He's now sitting in the bar next to us. And I felt like people were making jokes. You know, everybody was cracking wise about the pss, 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 all that kind of stuff. I felt like we couldn't have been safer. Lightning can't strike twice in the same
place.
There's
no way he's still holding. Yes.
That's why it was a little weird when Plexico said to me, "Why are you sitting so close to me?" And I said, "To be as safe as possible."
Absolutely.
But I thought that was pretty cool. And then, of course, we did the NFL.com live show for 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from Radio Row. And that was great. We talked to not, you know, Hollywood guys like Adam Sandler and Will Forte. And then we talked to Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Robert Griffin III. Who was your favorite guest, Rank?
I'm going to say Robert Griffin III. He was really, really, if when you think of the draft, everybody's just kind of assumed that Andrew Luck is going to be the number one overall selection. I'm telling you, when the Colts start to interview these guys and they get a chance to meet him, he's going to fly up their board pretty good.
I told him that. I said that to his face, Robert Griffin. Get ready to have after the combine, he is going to close that gap quite a bit.
And now it looks like because the St. Louis FC has the number two overall selection.
The Rams, in case you've never listened to the podcast before, Adam refuses to acknowledge that the Rams still exist.
I think
because he's a SoCal guy who thinks that the Rams only exist when they play in Southern California.
Which is the correct, the correct thing.
I respect your stance.
Somebody's going to have to trade up to get it, be it Cleveland, Washington, or whomever. They're going to have to trade up to get into that spot, and they might be trading up for Andrew Luck, because I don't know. I don't know if Indianapolis can do that kind of thing where they pull the curveball, because it seems like the safe pick is taking Andrew Luck. But, man, when they start looking at Robert Griffin and they start talking to him, and he really impressed me, so...
I agree. I agree with that, and I'm not one to, you know, to accuse people of anything of, you know, race-related, and of course this isn't directed at any individual. It just seems that the overarching opinion is that I have felt is out there for the last few months is that Robert Griffin III is somehow a gamble more than Andrew Luck, or forget Andrew Luck, just that there's that RG3, the horrible nickname actually kudos to Jason Smith, our colleague, who gave him a way better nickname, the potential law student Robert Griffin III. He said, call yourself the prosecutor.
Right.
That's awesome.
That is good.
If he's smart, if his handlers are smart, they'll start calling him the prosecutor. But anyway, Robert Griffin III, it has to be because he's black. He is an African-American with dreadlocks, and that's the only reason you would not look at him and think, of course this guy's going to be a star. He's got a cannon. He's exceptionally smart. He's obviously very confident. And he can run the ball, like a running back. What is not to love about these big?
He's a big guy. Yeah, a lot of people.
He's willowy. He's not filled out like Cam Newton is. For instance, when we met him, he's a monster. He's 6'6", chiseled man, machismo. You know, he was a cool guy, I thought. But
guys, I have to interrupt there.
What?
I just don't think Robert Griffin III is as big as Cam Newton at all.
I didn't say he's as big. That's just what I said, black tie.
I'm just saying, like, I other than the fact that he's black, he's small. I'll be worried about that if
he
I was
is a GM.
I don't
small.
Think
he's 6'2".
That's the point I was going to make.
He's
is that he's
foot
not
four.
He's not
no,
Cam.
He's 6'2".
He's not Cam Newton, but he's not a small guy. I was expecting somebody real wiry, like Pedro Martinez during his early days with the Dodgers. No, he looks like he's put together. I'm like, oh yeah, from the eyeball test, I'm like, oh yeah, this guy will be fun.
The prosecutor isn't 6'4"?
6'2".
Really?
Were you
positive?
There? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot when you were on the show and we're standing next to him. You were probably like,
black
oh yeah,
tie,
he is.
Please. We were under the white hot lights right next to him, man. You don't know how it is out there. We saw him. We glad handed
hey,
with him.
I was on the sidelines for the actual game. I remember seeing Tom Brady and Eli, and Eli on TV looks like a lanky little kid. He's a huge guy in person.
Sure.
I did not get that feeling about RG3.
Well, Cam Newton, like I say, was. We also and by the way, we also talked to Drew Brees, who is anything but a big
guy.
He's... Can't we do away with this whole idea that a QB has to be 6'4" at this point? Michael Vick, Drew Brees, and so on. I mean, at this point, is it a requirement that you be 6'5"? Obviously not.
Hey, I'm just saying you can't expect the type of things Cam did in a running game from RG3 because he's a lot smaller.
All right. Well, the guy who hi-hatted us was, of course, Tim Tebow. He was supposed to be on the show, but he never showed, did he?
He didn't.
Where was he?
Who knows? But I caught up with him later in the week.
Did you?
We did. On a Saturday, I went to a little bar called the Slippery Noodle.
I've been there.
Oh, what a great place.
When I was matriculating at Indiana, I went up to the Slippery
Noodle.
Is
it a chain or is it just that one?
As far as I know, it's the one and only.
Okay, I didn't know. I read the story about
it. I saw Big Head Todd and the Monsters there. You remember that band?
Yeah. Yes.
I saw them there around 1992.
How good? That's good for you. I saw Sublime when they were first starting up, but that's a good story, too. I was sitting there, and we came into the Slippery Noodle, and they had...
Condescending creep.
No, I'm not trying. I was applauding your musical choice. There's a basement in the Slip Room Noodle. It's a pretty big place. And if you get a chance to check it out online, go do it, because it's got a great, great story, a backstory. It was a station in the Underground Railroad. It was a distillery during Prohibition. It was a lot of cool stuff. And we're down in the basement, and we kind of took over this room, and it had one of those dome hockey games.
Sure.
You know the ones?
Chex hockey.
Chex hockey.
I'd destroy you in that.
Now, that's,
yes, I no, would destroy
not
you
Not a
that.
Chance.
They, not a chance. Listen, I know how to play the game.
No, I don't think you do.
The game I you play best, my best game in the world is Connect Four. But my second best game is rod hockey and Chex hockey. Not the same discipline, by the way.
No.
Rod hockey, the classic game, right. that's a game of getting the puck to the wing and then feeding it to your center iceman for the ram shot. Chex hockey, the game is get it to your defenseman, push it ahead to your center iceman, and let him go in one on goal.
That's a part of it. But you
no,
can
that's
still,
it. No,
you
that's
can still
the game.
Now, listen, if you're skilled like me, you can
I
play
am
the
skilled.
Wing. So I was down there. We were playing. Well, playing it is not a real accurate description. Dominating is what I would say I was doing. I'm down there dominating. We're having a good time. And the place is kind of – it's thinned out. And it's my buddy and I and two other friends we had with us. And the manager comes in. He goes, hey, you know
I like that distinction. My buddy and two of our friends. It's a little weird. But anyway.
It is right, weird. I'm trying to – listen, maybe it was a little fuzzy. But we're,
I think that's
we're sitting
I think
there.
That's the takeaway.
And the manager comes in and he goes, hey, you know, we have some VIPs.
You were like Gronk was on Sunday night.
No, I was not. I had my shirt on. So the manager comes in and he goes, hey, you know, some VIPs wanted this room. You know, they're hoping they can get it. And I said, you know, I'll play – whoever it is, I'll play them for it. Right now, you bring them to this game, we'll play. And he goes, no, how about I give you guys each $20? And I look at him, and I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm having a good time. And he goes, and so Buddy Guy was playing upstairs, and they were selling tickets for $50. And my friend goes, oh, you know what? We'll take Buddy Guy tickets. And I said, oh, and a round. So, okay, Buddy Guy tickets and a round. Fair enough. So we go out, and we're getting ushered out, and it's Maria Menounos.
Oh, my friend.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is who we're getting. She's on basic cable. Like, this is who I'm getting thrown out for.
Now, Menounos, by the way, I also want to make mention, go again, DaveDamashek.NFL.com. She and I caught up once again. We do it every year. We catch up. And then for weeks, nay, months afterwards, rumors abound. What's going on with those two? Why are they always together at the Super Bowl? Then I have to answer the questions.
Right.
You know, it's always.
Well, this is. And
everywhere
that's
I go, that's what people are talking about. What's going on with Menounos?
That's what was really upsetting to me because as we sat down, I said, we just got kicked out for Dave Damashek because he's obviously going to be meeting up with her in a matter
but
of
I
moments.
Wasn't.
And
Don't.
He wouldn't. And he wouldn't let me stay and play. And you know what? And I was upset. Like, he's not going to come challenge me here playing Czechs hockey. No. But you know who did come down the stairs?
Wait a
who?
Second. I just want to clear something up, Adam.
Okay.
This is important. You know, these rumors are all over the place.
Right.
And I was not meeting Maria Menounos.
You were not, no.
I just wanted to be made
okay,
clear.
No, I'm gonna,
I was not.
I'm going to clear that up. No,
okay.
No. Okay.
All right. I just want to let the record show she and I. For you know, for the millionth time, let me say it. We are friends. That is it.
Okay. And then so she obviously went with option two. And option number two was Tim Tebow.
Oh.
So Tim Tebow comes down the stairs, goes into the room that they had cleared us out of.
My Maria was with Tebow?
Yes.
Okay,
right.
Go ahead, please. I don't want to interrupt.
No, and they came up and I looked and I'm like, you know, and I went up to the manager again and I said, you know, if I would have known that I'm clearing the room for Tim Tebow, I would have asked for at least another round. And the guy rolls his, okay, fine, get him another one. And then somebody else.
In honor of Tebow, it was Shirley
in honor,
Temples, though.
Yeah. I got a Sharps. So, and then we got another Buddy Guy ticket for another friend who was coming up. So, in the end, it's now that Tim Tebow bought us Buddy Guy tickets, two rounds, which I think we ended up milking into three. Kind of a
but
fair
I,
trade.
I don't remember exactly.
Could have been.
All right, well, very good. Look who's joining us right now. Black Tie, play his theme music, would you?
He's handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's handsome Hank, he's handsome Hank, he's handsome Hank.
That's right. It's Handsome Hank. How are you, Handsome?
Great, guys. How are you?
What a pleasure to see you, although I didn't get to see nearly enough of you in the Hoosier State. We were in Indianapolis, and I was looking forward to standing drinks with you all week, and we didn't get to do it.
I felt the same way. I really, you know, I hear all these great stories, and I'm not sure exactly what I was doing at that time. Probably hard at work.
Did you enjoy our brand of football this time around?
It seems like a lot of fun. No, I loved it. It was great. Being at Super Bowls is wonderful.
Who stood out to you from the people that we met with on NFL.com Live? Did you covet after seeing Robert Griffin III? Did you think to yourself, I hope your Dolphins? Are you hoping that's who they can somehow figure out?
I've been saying it for a couple of months now. Yeah, I would love the Dolphins to get him. I really enjoyed your conversation. Probably my favorite part of that show was your conversation with Drew Brees, where I think you guys got off on a tangent about, you know, during the off season, do you just pig out? Do you just eat a lot? And then it turned out that Drew Brees was there to promote childhood obesity and, well, not promote it, to unpromote it, whatever the deal is. And so you'd been talking to him about, you know, how much treacle syrup can you get on your chicken wings? And then he was like, well, actually, you know, I want to talk to you about how much children should be exercising.
I think that was deft.
I just thought it was great.
That was a deft job of hosting.
What are you talking
by
about?
Me.
Yeah.
I let him right into his point. It was a wonderful time. And by the way, with all that stuff, I keep mentioning the blog page. The Shame Report is now up for your perusal. And
the NFL, Dave.
The NFL. That's what I was wanting to get to. Yeah, the NFL. We created one specially for the Giants and Patriots rematch. It was, what if David Tyree hadn't made that catch the first time around? How different would history look? So look that one up. And Handsome, the next one we already are working on is what if Drew Brees, I don't want to let too much out, but what if Drew Brees had gone to the Dolphins?
Oh,
that'll be a good one. You'll like that.
I like the sound of it.
I don't think you're going to like it, though. I think you're going to be, you will like it, except you'll come away bittersweet because you'll realize things could have been much better for the Dolphins.
Well,
I think he's aware.
That's not news.
Yeah, he's aware.
What, you mean Dante Culpepper didn't work out? You know what I mean?
The jury's out.
Yeah.
Quickly, let's talk about, I don't want to breeze past the main event here, Super Bowl 46 itself. And it was a great game. People always immediately, as soon as a good game ends, a good Super Bowl
now
ends.
Let me ask you.
People want to, where does it stand? Where does it stand? I think off the top of my head, without getting into hyperbole, and I really haven't considered this, and I really should have since we've had several days to do so, I don't know where it ranks, but I definitely say top 10, right? Mm.
Now, let me ask you a question about that real quick before we get into that. You watched, you stayed for the whole game?
Of course.
You didn't go home and watch the rest of it on DVR?
No, why
Nobody
would I?
I'm just curious, you know, because you did with the NFC Championship game.
I just wanted to make sure I had to do that. I was worried
because I saw you in the airport the next day, and I'm like, oh, does Dave know? I'm like, I don't want to spoil it for him in case he's got it
don't
home
mock
on his
me.
In case he's got it home on his DVR waiting. Hey, everybody, I know the Super Bowl was just, don't tell me. I got the second half. Hey, you know what? I was at the tailgate party, got a little crazy. I got to go home and watch it. Please,
Handsome,
don't talk about it.
First of all, I was rubbing elbows with Dan Rooney. He and I were not in the same state you were at the Slippery Noodle on Saturday. Handsome, you're a digital media expert. Don't you think in the 21st century we need a new set of laws to try and figure out? You can't text people during a game and say, especially if it's your team playing, you can't text people and say, did you see that catch? You don't know where I am. I might be traveling. I might be dealing with children at that point,
And I was, during Super Bowl, was on Instant Messenger with someone back here in Los Angeles. And, we were, I think TV is 7 seconds behind or something. So I'm like, wow, Manningham, well, that's incredible. And then they're like, well, thanks. You just ruined it.
And
they were watching it live.
The takeaway from Handsome Hank. The takeaway from Handsome Hank's anecdote there is that he calls L.A. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
I like that.
That's all you heard there.
I like that very much.
And then actually, you know, on the same tip, the next day I spoke to my dad, who was in the U.K. The fourth quarter of Super Bowl is at 3 a.m. or whatever. He wanted to watch it. It was 3 p.m. the next day. I gave away the whole.
By the way, as a side note, you mentioned the UK. First of all, thanks to everybody who dropped us a line, but then a lot of people in Indianapolis came up to us, and it's weird to realize, oh, people actually hear our podcast, and they actually see our stuff. It's weird to be in Indy and have random people
come up.
What was
it, like three or four people?
Two.
All right.
Two.
Still?
But those are two people.
Yeah, so, it's still.
But what's amazing is too to Indy meet Sarah. People. I met people from Australia who right. came up, and I met a guy. A guy took a picture with me who flew in with his father from Russia for Super Bowl, and he came up and he said, "I love your the fantasy advice you get." I don't do a Russian accent, as you can hear.
Yeah, you do.
That was pretty good.
I think I might be doing good. This. Might be like Giselle. I don't know if I'm doing Giselle or a Russian guy right now. Like, my husband cannot catch a pass and throw it at the same time. And I watch you on Fantasy Live all the time. And I like you very much. Can I have a picture with you kind of thing? I love the Shame Report. It's very good. Like, you get that in Russia? Like, oh, yeah, I guess the internet really is worldwide, as they say. So that was good fun. But listen, let's talk about, though, it was a great game. But the thing that my takeaway, and we can talk about Giselle in a minute, too, the thing that is sort of odd to me is that every New England fan has made this game, not every, but most New England fans have made Wes Welker's drop the play of the game. Mm-hmm. It's akin to, and I mentioned this in the Shame Report this week, akin to bad Boston fans who think that Bill Buckner's error in Game 6 of the 86 World Series was the end-all be-all. Bob right. Stanley and Rich Gedman were more responsible for the loss.
Absolutely.
And in Super Bowl 46, Wes Welker's drop was bad. He should have caught the ball, there's no doubt, but it wasn't a great pass, first of all. And secondly, the 12 men on the field was terrible. Mm-hmm. That's a turnover. The game goes completely differently at that point. That was a terrible play. The safety, I am very... I consider that very questionable. In this sense, was there anyone within the no. 20 yards of the ball?
No.
But have you ever? I've been watching football for 4 decades. I have never seen an intentional grounding call for a guy who throws it deep over the middle. I've just never seen it.
Right.
There's nothing. Yeah. There's no comparison to it. So for that call to be made in the Super Bowl is pretty distinctive, if not unique. And it yep. seemed it
but
seemed
it was
weird.
Pretty obvious.
And, these referees, I think nobody, instant replay aside, the calls being made on the field sometimes are very questionable. Are we to assume that those same guys that sometimes don't know, like clearly that was a catch, clearly that was a fumble and they get it wrong, those right. guys can also divine, we expect now, that guy, oh yeah, they can divine whether or not that receiver ran the wrong route. He was supposed to break it upfield, but he broke it off. No, it was intentional grounding. There was no way anybody was going to be near that ball.
Well, Dave, I'd advise you to watch Sound Effects. I'm not one to show for NFL Network, but I love that show every week.
Sure, great.
And last night the Super Bowl Sound Effects show was on, and they have the officials in the huddle immediately after Brady threw that pass, and the conversation they have about was there anyone within range? No, and the guy just throws the flag straight away and pulls up the safety sign.
That doesn't disprove what I just said.
It doesn't disprove it, but it was interesting seeing that conversation happen between the 2-3 officials. I liked seeing how that call was made rather than just one guy throwing the flag on it.
What if a quarterback's just terrible? Like every time Donovan McNabb threw a bounce pass, you could be like, you know what, intentional grounding. You're like, no, he's just an awful quarterback. Joe Tolliver's out there overthrowing
people. Brady let himself down. He's been too good for too long.
I get the call that the guy is – that who was it? Was it JPP that was Bear? No, it was
no,
O.C.
It was Tuck
who's bearing down on him there as Brady lets fly there. So I can see, you know, he's just trying to get rid of the ball. But again – up the middle of the field, that's a very tough call to make no matter what.
It's easy to have a miscommunication with that, too, where you think, you know, if you and the receiver are reading something
at a glance, Brady's looking up in a split second, he decides to unleash.
He never, ever complained about it. You saw him after that play, after safety. He wasn't in the official's face mm-hmm. saying this isn't the case. He walked off the field.
Well, interesting.
And he is known for moaning a little bit about it.
All that is prelude to the Welker drop. But again, 4 minutes to go in the game, they would have had the ball at the 20 there. The way the Giants defense is playing, certainly the Patriots would have had a chance to get a touchdown and the game would have been over. But the stronger likelihood with the way that game was going is the Patriots weren't going to score a touchdown. They're going to kick a field goal, and Eli gets the ball back with, let's say, 2 minutes to go and has to score a touchdown, which he did. I'm not saying that it would have been as easy as it ended up being, but still, it's not like the game is over mm-hmm. because Welker catches that ball. To me, after Ahmad Bradshaw's touchdown as he tries to sit down on an invisible chair is what it looked like to me. But after that play, Brady gets the ball. And the first play of that drive, And Brady was off the mark several times in the second half there. But
after Tuck drove him into the ground.
Never more. That's right. Never more than on the first play of that drive with a minute to go. Mm-hmm. He tries to throw it to Deion Branch over the middle about 15, 20 yards downfield. And he throws it well behind Branch. Yeah. The defender jumps up and maybe tips it with a finger, maybe doesn't, but it's so far behind Branch he can't get it. If Brady puts that ball in the right spot, and a guy who's known for his accuracy like Tom Brady is, it was a wildly bad throw. If he puts it on the money in front of Branch, Branch catches it in space. Go back and look at this play. He catches it in space. He certainly gets the ball inside of Giants territory, likely gets out of bounds with, say, 50, 55 seconds left in the game. The clock stopped, and at least, what was it, one timeout? Or one timeout. There was only one timeout left there. So they would have had one timeout in Giants territory. The game would have been very different. So the bottom line is to me that Welker's drop, very bad, but not the end-all, and Belichick deserves a lot of the blame, and Brady does, the two figureheads of this so-called dynasty. And I'm going to say it again, and I don't care what people – Patriots fans get so upset with me. How dare you? It's so petty. You're so small. I'm going to punch you in the neck if I ever meet you in person, Damashek, that kind of stuff. But the fact is they have not won a Super Bowl in 8 years, and since Spygate happened, they are 0-for. Say whatever you want. You can talk about David Tyree all you want. You can talk about Welker's drop all you want. But the fact is, zero.
All right, guys. I got a couple of Twitter questions for you guys in relation to Super Bowl.
The all first right, black tie.
From Neil Dalton, right?
Neil, yes. My man.
You know Neil?
Neil and I converse on the Twitter a lot.
Okay. You seem to converse a lot on Twitter. Do you do
anything? I'm sorry. You know
he
what?
He converses I'm with his 11 guy. Followers
I'm
all the
I'm sorry.
Time.
That's what happens. Exactly. Don't take my jokes, you son of a...
All right, so he asks, will Welker be remembered as Super Bowl's GOAT, or will that be Giselle?
Well, the Giselle thing, well, that's what we love to have Handsome Hank come in here and do, and he reads his favorite quotes of the week for us. Why don't we talk about that? That's what everybody's been talking about. Well, that and Gronk. Mm-hmm. And let me say about Gronk, too, my personal opinion on that is he's a young guy. He had the bum ankle, a lot of pressure on him all week. I know it seems bad, and I always hate. I heard Roethlisberger. I've heard plenty of stories about in his rookie season after they lost to the Patriots in Pittsburgh in 2004, January of '05, that 2 hours after the game, he was out having a gay old time, dancing.
Well, he turned out well, so yeah, I guess it's no big deal.
He does have those two rings, so listen. I get it. If you're a fan, you mourn for the next 2 months about something like that. The players turn the page. Listen, everybody mourns in their own way. That's what I'll say. And the good news is for fans, the ankle looks just fine based on him jumping around. But the other takeaway story is Giselle's comments. And Handsome, why don't you read them for us?
Okay. My husband cannot damn throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time. I can't believe they dropped the ball so many times.
What? That was Handsome Hank trying to do a Brazilian woman, and somehow you sounded like Giuseppe. My husband cannot catch a football.
That's not Brazilian.
I don't know. He and my husband, he cannot make a spicy meatball. He cannot make it and eat it at the same time.
Okay, all right. I'm not trying it again. That was
please,
fine.
Read
nothing
it.
Wrong with that.
Read it as yourself.
All right. My husband cannot throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time, Bunchen said. I can't believe they dropped the ball so many times. And then Brandon Jacobs, and this is the best response possible.
He is the angriest champion in history.
Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl. Even the next day he was still angry. I saw him interviewed on Monday. He was very, very cross. Brandon Jacobs said, she just needs to continue to be cute and shut up.
Well, that's not very nice.
No, it's not.
Here's my thought on this. My takeaway is this. I know everybody likes to have their fun and say whipped, and I like to call him Tom Bunchen and everything else. But this is what I want. I want my old lady doing that. I played when I was in Little League. Right. I assure you, Mo Damashek, even if the ball hit me in the glove and went into the outfield and let the Yankees score two runs in the bottom of the fifth and lost my Giants the game. This is not just
happen.
This isn't an empty anecdote. This is actually You know, Mo Damashek wasn't like, yeah, you really cost the team the game. Cost your team today. You really blew the game.
No wonder you're so coddled.
What's she supposed to say? She's supposed to say it's your fault?
Yes.
Is Giselle supposed to say, Tom, boy, you played a lot better.
Exactly. See, my mom used to do that. Like
When we're walking through the airport, Tom, please, you got to walk 5 steps behind me. I'm ashamed to be seen. What's she supposed to say?
My mom couldn't tell me enough that Daryl Kyle was a much better player than I was.
You were on the same baseball team as Daryl Kyle?
No. He was a different team. But we'd play in all-star teams and stuff. Like, why aren't I starting? You're like, Daryl Kyle's way better than you are.
Is that
like,
right?
Oh, okay. Same, and it happened to me in high school basketball, too. We had this kid who was on our team named Jeremy McKee, and I would be like, God, I just, you know, need to get, you know, get some playing time. My dad's like, well, who's starting in front of you? And I'm like, Jeremy McKee. And he goes, oh, that's a good player. He knows what he's doing. You're like, oh, okay, thanks, guys.
About 20 or 25 years ago, I half-kiddingly said to Amir in my home, I once said, who's better looking than you, baby? Something like that. You know, just jokingly talking about my rugged
good look. Oh, Amir. Okay.
A rugged good look.
I thought you were... Sorry. I thought you were talking to some guy named Amir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at Amir's Falafel on Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, Amir, who's better looking than me?
I don't know, but do you want the spicy falafel? My wife in the back, Gisella, can make it for you. I said that, and my mother, I didn't even solicit her opinion. She said, oh, Christopher Reeve is better looking than you. This is before Christopher Reeve was sitting. You know, this was this is Superman era. Christopher Reeve, of all the human beings, that's the one you take out. The Chris Reeve.
Well, I think that's like the next one up from you, and then there's just thousands of.
Well, you know, the Superman era of Christopher Reeve cuts a familiar figure with Handsome Hank.
I've said it before. That's his English doppelganger.
So. Would Mo Damashek think that Handsome Hank is more handsome than you?
By the transitive property, I think so. And we better keep Mo Damashek away from one Mr. Handsome Hank. Yeah, I'm worried about that. But yeah, am I right? That shouldn't the only difference between this and any other interaction between almost any other player, I would think. Maybe you hear those stories about Todd Marinovich's old man, you know, yelling at him and pushing him to be better. And you hear those stories about some guys. But for the most part, aren't everyone's loved ones after a game saying that wasn't your fault, that was the other guy's? It goes? Except there was a video camera there because she's a supermodel.
I think Vanessa Bryant wouldn't say that.
Mrs. DeLorme, after that six interception playoff game, kind of being like, hey, Jake, that wasn't, that, I don't know what she's the other guys were doing.
She was like, I'm riding home with Brenda Warner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's, okay, maybe there are a few exceptions. Yeah, there's really like, can't you give me something? Come on, Mama DeLorme. Can't you say something like, I wish I could.
Yeah. Nope. No.
Listen.
I got nothing.
Maybe it's time for the next phase of your life. Yeah. Maybe
or they'll give you the condescending, like, you know, it was a good season.
You've had some great moments in your career.
You guys won 12 games this year.
I just don't have a beef with it. I think it's one of the great non-stories I've come across in some time. Except that, unless, and these guys do have egos. Obviously, NFL players have egos. I imagine that they can handle it inside the Patriots locker room, unless those Patriots receivers are sort of like, oh, is that what you do? You agree with that? Will you agree with your wife, Tom? Is it all our fault? But I don't imagine that will have any lingering effects. No. By the way, speaking of wide receivers for the Patriots, wouldn't you have refused to sign if you were Underwood? Tyquan Underwood gets cut the day before the game, then re-signs the day after. I would have said, no, I'm going anywhere but back to you, Patriots.
No, I think they'll take care of him. They'll give, you know, they'll look after him.
Yeah, he probably likes money.
Yeah, that's probably true. Anyway, what were you going to say there?
The Giselle thing, it should also be noted that she did not go up to a reporter and say these things. It was somebody overhearing her. So I don't know.
Oh, it's not even on. Yeah, I guess it was.
It was to fans, wasn't it, as they were leaving the stadium?
I think she was just talking to somebody. And somebody overheard it. And I don't know how I feel about it, because you feel that most people feel that way, but she would never say it. And I don't know. It just seems a little like, yeah, that's what you would be saying to your friends kind of thing.
I also think, though, here's the other thing I take away from it. I've said it many times before. We just talked about Gronkowski's behavior, Roethlisberger. That's entirely alleged. I don't know what Roethlisberger, but I've heard stories the night of that championship game, he was out and about. But I'm sure that there are myriad tales like that. And in fact, Max McGee, the hero of Super Bowl I for the Packers, was out the night before the game.
That's Listen, fine.
Everybody lighten up. Everybody's so politically correct. That being said, the thing I
Wait,
do... What?
You hate when players...
I was just going to say. Listen, I was just about to say, I like for the players to care as much as I do, and I find it nice and refreshing and all that, that Tom Brady, with all his great deeds, with his great career that ends up in the Hall of Fame, is destroyed after the game. Mm-hmm. I like that. If I'm a Patriots fan, I like that he's sharing my misery like that. That's I prefer that as a fan than Gronk's behavior. I'm saying I have to get up on Mount Pius and look down on Gronkowski if I'm to judge his behavior. I don't know what led up to that. I'm sure he's devastated as well. Maybe he had a couple of white Russians and one thing led to another. Maybe he had some painkiller in that ankle. The chemistry led to some nonsense for a 22-year-old guy. Whatever. Yeah, I'm not forgiving it, you understand?
Right.
I'm saying but I'm praising Tom Brady, that devastation. It's true, and I agree. I agree with myself, I guess, is what I'm saying. he and Belichick, they're going to go down as great. Both are one of the great coaches, one of the great QBs and everything. But how can you ever say that you would be hard-pressed to make a case that either guy is the best at their respective gig when they haven't won without Spygate? True or false? Am I being too cynical?
Nope. There's a, it reminds me of...
People don't like it. People say,
if he had won, though, then what would you think? If they'd won that game, would that be the best coach and best player or best quarterback of all time?
In the conversation, if they would have won the two Giants games, if they would have gone 19-0 and won this game,
oh, no doubt.
Without question, they would have had
but
it all.
Just this one I'm talking about.
But this one, it would have put them in the conversation with Joe Montana, would have put them in the conversation with Chuck Noll and Terry Bresha.
They're already in that conversation.
Still a step below.
Obviously I like the Steelers. I think you'd be hard-pressed to convince most people that Terry Bradshaw is better than Tom Brady.
You know what?
I'd love to see, the statistics, you can't apply statistics, though, because it's the same as, comparing errors in baseball. You can't, quarterbacks threw more interceptions and for fewer yards than they do now. The average NFL QB in 2011 throws for way more yards than the best quarterback in 1981.
But I don't think it's my imagination to say that the teams in the 70s were better, because instead of all these transient guys switching teams every year, you had these great teams that played year in, year out. There were three teams in the AFC that were battling every year. It was the Raiders, the Steelers, and the Dolphins. The NFC had the Rams, the Cowboys, and the Vikings. And those were the best teams, the elite of the elite. Yeah, sometimes the Cardinals would sneak in. The Broncos would sneak in and do something. But for the most part, it was those teams. And when it came down to it, Terry Bradshaw beat Stabler every time. Or not every time. Did they lose to them in 76?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
But so, that was without Franco, Harris, and Rocky Blyer.
Right, and it's one of those things where, he came out on top of that. He came out on top of the Staubach games. It's hard not to do it. And when you look at Tom
Brady. I'm saying the majority of people would be hard-pressed. You can convince me.
All right.
Black Tie swinging his arms around. What's going on, Black Tie? What's the story here?
Nothing. I just got another tweet for you guys.
Oh, but we're in the middle of a conversation.
I don't think we even answered that last tweet either. I think the question
I
was
did answer
gonna,
it.
No,
I did.
We. I don't think we,
my answer not, is neither. It's Brady.
Not, yeah, it's not Giselle.
It's Brady and Belichick. I said that. I said those are the two chief goats there. What's the next one there?
Well, I have two. It was a quick one from Tristan. It's is there any way Giselle could suit up and play wide receiver so she can know how hard it is? To which Adam Rank, I have to say, phrasing, and then. And another one from Dan McGinnis says, do you and David ever get white boy wasted?
Well, I guess he hasn't heard the early part of the show.
Well, we know. Yes, I think no. Rank has conceded.
I do not.
This is a reference Jalen Rose's comments about Gronk.
About Gronkowski. Oh, yeah. Jalen Rose said he was what? White boy wasted? Mm-hmm. Shirt off, swinging around, jersey shortened.
Oh. No, I
don't
not.
Get that way.
No, I do not. I don't want to disgust anyone who's out for a night of pleasure in a public facility. I would not remove my shirt. And
I say
you.
Damashek and I are more like, we're like, if you watch the original Ocean's 11, we would be sitting there putting back belts, that kind of sophisticated.
I stay in drinks. That's what I do. Yeah. I'm like Draper.
Yeah, you know.
By the way, I ran into Draper on the streets of Indianapolis.
He was around.
That was grand. Yeah, he's a wonderful fellow. He's such a regular fellow, that John Hamm. Just immediately talking Cardinals, baseball, and football. You know, what a swell fellow. Ran into him on the streets of Indy.
You should get him on the show, Dave.
I'd like to. Listen, I'd like to have him on the show. He's a big-time guy, though. He's a A-list Hollywood guy. I'd like to get him on the show.
I thought you just said he was a regular guy.
Yeah, well.
Which, it can't be both.
What is it?
He is. Well, you know what, Handsome Hank? I will dash off an email.
What's his number? Let's call him right now.
All right. Now.
Oh, we
Black
got...
Tie, you want to ask us another question? I can't read. Just speak, Black Tie. I can't read through the glass.
I think we have a guest.
You have the magic of a microphone. You can just speak.
We need to toss the Victor Cruz interview that we did.
Yeah.
Minutes ago, and then we need to get out of here.
Why?
Because I have stuff to do.
What a party pooper, Black Tie. What are we talking about? Super Bowl? We're still coming down from the trip in Indy.
We haven't even decided which stadium was better, Lucas Oil or Cowboys Stadium.
Oh, for me, it was Lucas Oil. The whole experience, Lucas Oil.
Experience?
Was great.
Okay, now, obviously, Indianapolis dominated, and I'm ready to kiss them into the Super Bowl rotation. Miami, Tampa, you guys are out.
Don't count on that kind of weather, though, that we got in Indianapolis again.
It didn't matter because you could have used the skywalks and we would have been
That's
fine.
True. It's weird. You never have to walk outside if you're in downtown Indianapolis.
Well, there was a member of the media who made it his mission to only wear shorts and flip-flops all week, and he was going to walk from place to place with
the guy from the Chronicle?
I have no idea who he was.
He was there in slippers one day in the media center.
Terrific.
I wish I could remember his name.
Great bit. Whatever. Self-imposed nonsense. Anyway, okay, continue.
But experience, because Indianapolis, but stadium-wise, still Lucas Oil?
No. Yeah, you know, I wasn't listen, to me, Cowboy Stadium was a spectacle because of its largesse. It's sort of like liking Vegas over San Francisco. Lucas Oil wasn't that nice because its scale was magnificent, but I didn't think the stadium, the giant scoreboard and everything. I thought from a viewing standpoint that Lucas Oil was great. There are those giant screens in either corner of the end zone, you know, in both end zones. You could see everything you wanted to see. Both great big HD TVs. I thought it was great. I loved the red brick. I thought that was cool.
I thought it was built more for the fans. It seemed real easy. Like, we had no problem going to the concession lines to get nachos and hot dogs and things like that. And it was really easy. But the Cowboy... Okay, yeah, I know. I'm a fat guy. Yeah, done. Thank you. For those of you who have never seen me in person, I apparently cut a similar figure to Chris Farley.
The glass half-empty way of looking that is that Lucas Oil Stadium was enabling.
Yes. A little bit. A little bit. Like, I was in the drive-thru line last night, and I called my wife, and I said, man, I go... I got to lose some weight. You know, this is getting bad. She's like, where are you right now? And I'm like, Del Taco. But not tonight. I'm not doing it. Yes, everybody's enabling me. Handsome Hank, what was the better stadium? Now,
I'm entirely taken in by the size and sheer sort of spectacle of Cowboy Stadium. I like that.
It seems
had nothing against Lucas Oil Stadium, but I really like
the Cowboys. Well, apparently you do. It seems like it was built for the aristocrats, the high-end fans, where Lucas Oil seems to be built for football fans.
Yeah.
Well, one last thing, and then we'll get to Victor Cruz. The thing that was weird about Cowboy Stadium to me is that they have those luxury boxes that are field level and are almost subterranean. You're about, like, you know, they, in fact, you're at about waist level
of a player.
Of the field, and they wrap all the way around the field. And the best ones, presumably, are the ones at the 50-yard line, except for the fact when the game's going on, then you're staring at three rows of players' bums, aren't you?
Yeah.
How do you see anything of what's going on?
I don't think they can be the best ones. The best ones are, and especially on
but
Super
those
Bowl,
are probably so, million-dollar suites, and you wouldn't be able to see the actual game,
you're watching
right?
on TV. You've got the big
That's
screen.
That's why you got that big screen.
You've got the big screen.
I mean, it's
there.
Neat to be close, but if you can't see the game, I don't really
That's
see
the big
virtue.
Screen's for.
All right.
Again, that's made for people who just want to say that they went to Cowboy Stadium. They want to text their friends. Hey, look, you know, here's a picture. They'll tweet
here's
out.
Tony Romo's backside.
Here's a picture from the bench. You know, like those kind of people who aren't fans, where I don't feel that there's a lot of opportunity for that
in Lucas Oil Stadium, except in one end zone.
All right, let's talk to a guy who for now and forever will, like I say, have his name in the record book as having caught a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl along with a bunch of other passes all season long. Dynamite, spectacular receiver. It's Victor Cruz. How are you, man? Congratulations.
I'm doing well, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
How you been spending the last few days? I bet celebrating around Manhattan, eh?
A little bit. Just kind of soaking in all the moments, man, and just embracing everything that comes along with winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I imagine. But here's my question for you. Yeah, from almost every guy associated with the Giants that I've seen over the last few days, you're enjoying the moment. Answer me this. What's up with Brandon Jacobs? What's he so angry about? He's always yelling and screaming the last few days.
That's him, man. You know, he's just such an emotional player that just loves his team, man, and loves his players. And you know, the fact that we won a Super Bowl, you know, it kind of gives him – he likes to have free range to kind of just, you know, he can say whatever he wants to say now. And we love that about him, man. He's such an open guy. And he's the heartbeat of our team. So I love the guy to death personally, and he's just he's always on edge all the time.
Well, first of all, I want to talk, you know, so many big plays. Congratulations forever now. You're in the record book as having a touchdown reception in the Super Bowl. That's got to be pretty awesome for you. What about the drop, though, by Welker? Was that the play of the game? What did you see from the sideline? Did you think, wow, that is that's a ball he absolutely should have had, bad pass? What was your reaction in the moment?
That was definitely the play that could have turned the entire ball game around, and we knew that. But I think Wes Welker's made some pretty good catches, some pretty amazing catches in his career. So I definitely, you know, with his level of athleticism, I think he definitely could have come down with that ball. But, you know, I understand how difficult it is in this league trying to catch a football that you think maybe right there you can catch it and it just slips your grasp. So by no means am I downplaying that. That's just a tough game, man. They had a tough game, especially down the stretch with a couple drops. But that's part of the game, man. It's unfortunate for him.
Yeah, and even if he makes that catch, you guys still have to go down and score. When you came onto the field, was there any doubt that Eli was going to lead you guys down the field for the winning touchdown?
We had no doubt. We knew we were going to drive the field and we were going to do all the necessary things we needed to do to win this game. And it's weird because the whole drive and every chunk of yards that we get, and then after the Marvin Manningham catch, it was just I knew right after that we were going to win this ball game, and we just had to keep doing everything right and everything in our power to drive the field and put points on the board.
It's a semi-famous story that Joe Montana, at the start of the drive against the Bengals to win the Super Bowl back in 1989, I think it was, made a joke about seeing John Candy in the crowd. Does Eli, he doesn't strike me as the sort of guy who's joking around in the huddle, or tell us something we don't know.
Yeah, he's definitely not telling too many jokes in the huddle. He's a guy that's just... he's focused on the task at hand. We're just driving the field and just letting everybody know their responsibilities on every route and every play. So he's just locked in, man. He's locked in. He's locked and loaded every drive, every time we have the football. He's understanding what he has to do and making his reads.
Now, Victor, you've brought the salsa back. Have you become sick of it now? Because it seems like now that you're doing the rounds, everybody asks you to do it. Are you regretting that at all?
Nah, not really, man. It's an honor to represent my heritage, part of my heritage, being Puerto Rican and representing the Latin culture. And it's a time and a place for it, obviously, but I never get tired of doing it.
Wait a second. So why do you bring that up, Brink? You have a suggestion for him? You have a 2012 suggestion, Dan?
No, but I'm saying...
gonna have him do the robot?
Oh, yeah, something cool like that. Hey, did you catch the videos with Rob Gronkowski dancing after the Patriots lost? Because I'd like your critique on that as a dancing expert.
I didn't see it. I heard about it. And I heard he did pretty well. I'll have to see the video for myself to make a better assessment on it. But I heard he did pretty well.
Hey, what about that? You don't have to pull back the curtain entirely, but when you lose a big game, is that something that's pretty common among the Giants, or your experience that you go out and you let loose a little bit to try and, put a little salve on the wound of a tough loss?
I don't think so. I think our MO has always been, you know, we celebrate when we win, and when we lose, we go home and we think about it and think about how that feels and not let it happen again. So I think, you know, we don't really like to go out. You know, I'm not going to say we don't, that people have not gone out or have enjoyed themselves on a loss. But for the most part, I think we understand that when we lose, it's a full team loss. And we kind of, you know, take that night to kind of think about it and think about the things we did wrong and think about how we can move forward.
See, I would be afraid of upsetting Brandon Jacobs because he's a grump when you guys win. I could imagine if you're doing that when you lost.
He's a guy that you don't want to upset, man. Brandon Jacobs is, you know, on top of him being, you know, 270 or whatever he is, he's definitely one of the more emotional guys on the team. So you don't want to tick him off.
270? I didn't know he was that big a guy. Wow. Hey, Victor, all right, listen. The Lombardi is yours. There's no taking it away at this point. Be square with me now. Week 4 in Arizona. That was a fumble. Come on.
I was down, man. I was
down. You were down.
I was down. I was down. I was unaware of the rules at the time, obviously. But when it happened, I saw the defender coming inside, and I was just getting myself down, and I thought he touched me. So I kind of got up and was going back to the huddle. But, you know, my lesson is definitely learned from that moment. And from now on, every two-minute drill, I'm giving the ball to the referee, and I'm lining up for the next play. So
definitely
learned my lesson.
That's one play. And, I mean, you can do this with any team that goes all the way to win the Super Bowl. But it seems this year, these New York Giants, there are at least a dozen plays that I can name throughout the regular season that – if that one play had gone differently, you guys don't even make the playoffs. I mean, you know, the JPP block at the end of regulation, the, you know, Miles Austin loses it in the lights. You can go on and on with this. Do you guys talk about that? Were you guys leading up to the Super Bowl or even after saying, can you imagine that we even got into these playoffs?
Not really, man. We just knew that, you know, we took advantage of all of our opportunities and certain teams kind of dropped the ball or had to overthrow or we did what we did and blocked a kick. So we understood that we did our part and to win every game that we possibly could. And some other teams just didn't execute as well as we did. And some unfortunate last minute things that they could have done to win the game ended up being, you know, the deciding factor on why we won. So it's definitely been, you know, a nerve-wracking year with those last-minute plays and those certain plays that could change the whole perspective of the season. So it's definitely been crazy. But, you know, we're just happy we were on the positive side of those plays and we're able to win a Super Bowl.
Hey, Rank here started calling you way back in September, started telling me your name. And
Victory Cruz. And now, not only did you make me a fantasy champion, you're now an NFL champion. How do you like it? I think let's spread that. I think Victory Cruz... I think that's a great nickname.
I like it. It's not the first time I've heard it, but it's definitely a good one.
All right, Lombardi Trophy, and also congratulations on the Vizio Top Performer Award there. Again, you did it for having a monster season in spite of not making the hugest chunk of loot in the world. But again, like Rank says here, we expect that's going to change very soon for you. So congratulations on all the success, man.
Thank you very much, man. The Vizio is such a prestigious award, and I'm just happy to, thanks to all the great fans, to be able to win this award. And thank you to everyone at Vizio and all the fans that voted for me. I really appreciate it.
All right, and I don't want to do it, Victory, but I think it's required by law. Let's all salsa together right now, real quick, for 2 seconds. Come on, let's just salsa.
Let's do it.
Is that it? Who's a better salsa dancer? I'm one, Victor is two, Rank is three. All right. Hey, Victor Cruz, thanks so much and enjoy the offseason in Manhattan.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, so there you go. I enjoyed him. Of course, he's up on cloud nine right now. There,
Victory Cruz, that's going to catch on now.
We'll see. He said he's heard it before, though.
From me, because he probably watches Fantasy Life.
Oh, that's probably true. Handsome Hank, here's what I would say to you. In fact, I'm going to ask. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to ask it to you. Don't you think that belongs on the page? Our interview with Victor Cruz. We have video. We can give it to you.
Well, then why not? Well, then why don't I have it already?
Don't put the NFL Network interview with Victor Cruz on there. Put the one with Rank and Damashek.
Well, I may put both. How about that?
I think I'm going to go back to my original point. Why don't you put the one with me and Rank up there?
I just said I would.
All right, but not the other one.
What, now you're telling me to withhold
People on TV, they're fancy. They get to be on TV and they put us out there for once. Let people see us.
Well, hold on a second, Dave. What if I tell you that the NFL, my favorite thing that you do, will be on the NFL Network today on NFL Total Access.
Is that true?
That is a true story.
Wow.
So now you're one of the fancy guys.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Well, that's not me. That's an animated version of me. But let me say this to you, and then we'll get out of here because apparently black tie is more important things to do, like go watch NFL Network. But listen, well, you should watch the NFL. I didn't realize it was going to be on. Listen, Trey Wingo came up to me at
I saw it.
Came up to me in Indianapolis, and he said,
"Were you with anyone else at the time?"
I was with Adam Rank, actually.
Did he come up to you and Adam Rank?
No.
No, he came up to me and he said, "Hey, Dave, Trey Wingo," and I said, "Trey Wingo, of course. I've been watching you for 20 years. I'm a big fan of yours." And he said, "I want to let you know, NFL, big fan, love it, love the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's really good stuff." And he shook my hand and he started to walk away. And Rank, I mean, it was just so contentious the way he did. He's like, "I'm Adam, by the way." Sticks his mid out.
That's not what happened.
Sticks his big
that's
tall
exactly
out.
Not what happened.
That is what happened.
I said, "Nice to meet you too."
Oh, nice to not. Yeah. So you basically nice to meet you too.
Yeah.
Which is you're tweaking him.
Yeah, of course I
why
should.
Why does he have to do that?
Because
what does
we were standing together.
What did I just say about people on TV? They're not like you and me. They play by a different set of rules. He doesn't have to stop and glad hand with you.
That's why
it was nice for him to come over and say something like that.
Good, and I hope his takeaway from that is like, his sidekick's a real A.
No. His takeaway is like, that was a real mistake to ever say anything to Dave Damashek now.
Yeah,
I wish I hadn't have done that.
Good.
But I don't understand good nothing. You stink. All right. Oh, before we get out of here, though, we have to do what we always do, and that's honor the player who wore it best, the player who wore the episode number best. Number 53 in this case, and who are candidates there? Jim Youngblood, yeah. Jack's brother from the L.A. Rams. Not brothers.
They both
were defensive players on the same Rams team. Their last name is Youngblood, but they're not related. That's amazing to me.
We asked Jack Youngblood about that in a previous episode.
He said he thought it was interesting. Most people don't care nearly as much as I do. But all right, we have him. We have Harry Carson, mm-hmm. great middle linebacker, mm-hmm. of course, for those Giants. Dirt Winston of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Brian Hinkle, great linebacker, outside linebacker. Played a little inside, too, if memory serves. You had Clark Hagans, Super Bowl champion for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Randy Gratishar, didn't he wear 53?
Oh, was it that or was it 63?
No, he didn't wear 63. It was definitely a 50. It was 53 or 58. I'm pretty sure it was 53. Randy Gratishar, he wouldn't beat out Harry Carson, though.
No.
Anybody else? Any other sport?
Yeah,
seems like Joe Klein wore that, the old center, the overpaid center.
Okay.
From Smoo.
That makes sense.
53.
But it's Don Drysdale.
Don Drysdale, 53. Ooh. All right, Harry Carson or Don Drysdale? That's what it comes down to in my book. Handsome Hank, you don't watch our sport of baseball, so you don't really.
I can't. I'm a big Carson fan.
Yeah, he's. Hank's disqualified. Got to be Drysdale. Yeah.
All right.
Both of them are Hall of Famers in their respective sports. I have a lot of respect for Harry Carson. If you saw the pick six I did, I had him as number. You did because it was on the show that we were doing.
I wasn't paying attention.
I had him as number three, although I think Eli's going to start making his way up that top six. Don Drysdale, if you look at all-time Dodgers, him and Koufax, Jackie Robinson, you should.
Jackie Robinson, yeah.
Yeah.
doesn't know who he is still.
I still say Don Drysdale.
All right, let's go with Don Drysdale. And with that black tie, congratulations. We're going to stop the show now. Thanks to Victor Cruz for joining us. Handsome Hank, a pleasure to see you as always. We'll kibitz next week. We have Steve Smith as a possibility, right? Our old pal, get his review of the Pro Bowl, the nonsense that went on over there.
We got to get into the Chauncey Billups stuff.
Got to talk about NBA. We got to track down Jalen Rose. Love talking to Jalen Rose to show that we can talk about more than just NFL football. We'll talk about basketball and such. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.